say what? Ho, this is Brian. Call me the lady who's sure all the glitters is gold, Gardner, coming to you from the Devil's Hole, a.k.a. Ramble on Towers Dungeon Studio in scenic Hesper, Ontario. You are listening to Ramble on Radio, episode 118. Be sure to go to RambleOnRadio.com for your news, all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. Go to iTunes, get it automatically on your phone, etc. But go leave a review, and it helps their computers to recognize that we're out here doing something that people like. Also, I'm on Podbean at I Am Brian Dammit, and you can listen on Spreaker. And if you're on Spreaker, be sure to follow Ramble on Radio. And now on Stitcher Radio. Check out Ramble on Radio on YouTube, follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook and Google Plus, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. You can tell it's been a while since I've done this. I kind of fumbled through that. It's been a little while. Got scolded on Facebook yesterday by Beth, who's been a regular listener, and I met in New York about a year and a half ago. And, she was missing, so... Now, what are you going to do, I guess? Bottom line is, well, I would just say it's been, I don't have my microphone plugged in, so I'm doing this straight into the computer. I'm feeling really weird now. See, it's been a while. I miss it. Life's just gotten busy, and the truth is I'm training for a half marathon. I did this in the fall, too, and I find it really sucks the time out of you. You know, there's only so many free hours in the day. And when you kind of add an extra couple hours a week in putting in footwork time, foot time, running time, it just kind of seems to suck the rest of it out. And I play in a classical guitar orchestra. We had our big spring concert like 2 weekends ago. And then a video shoot, video shoot sounds very professional and formal. And it was cool, but it wasn't, we weren't the firm doing Radioactive or something. But that stuff kind of took, you know, the free time that I had kind of disappeared on me. And I actually sat down to do one about 2 weeks ago on the anniversary of a Strange Sensation album. And I'm going to find it here. Mighty Rearranger, back on the 25th. Of April. I also have my 25th wedding anniversary at a big party. So just there was a lot going on, as well as that. But I did sit down to do Mighty Rearranger episode, strictly on the basis that I thought it was 10 years. I saw on Facebook something about 10 years ago. So I thought, oh, that's perfect. And then when I kind of sat down to do what little research I do, I discovered really quickly that... It was 11 years. It was whatever the Facebook thing I saw was a year old. It was one of those that popped up again a year later things. Furthermore, we did the 10-year Strange Sensation episode last year. So if you're looking for it, it's still up, I think. I wonder if I have that. If I can get that quickly. What do you think's the chance I can find it quickly? I'm going to just search Mighty Rearranger release. No. Let's see. Let me see if I can find. This would be April of last year, yeah? So anyway, I did sit to the end. So that really threw me off. Holy Jesus. I'm off by a whole year on this. And then, so that was an episode that was going to get done. So that's episode 95. It'll still be on the servers. You'll be able to go listen to that, episode 95, if you're really curious what I thought of Strange Sensation. I'll tell you this, though. I listened to it a couple of times. I think something I said, it was something that didn't age well. And I listened to it a couple of times leading up to this, and I kind of enjoyed it. There's a couple of songs on it I quite like. Yeah, you know. I think what I find about it is the stuff I liked 10 years ago, I'm not so nuts on now, but some of the stuff that I didn't really notice then, I like now. So there's that. All right. So in history. The intro. I have no idea what order I did things in. I think I started with Taurus by Spirit, which is the song that's in question in the courts currently. Descendants of Randy California, who was the guitar player who composed that piece, are saying that Jimmy Page stole that little part that you heard at the intro for Stairway to Heaven, which I think is what you heard next. You also heard a 17th century piece called Sonata di Chitarra e Violino con il suo basso continuo. It's a violin concerto. Is what how do you like my Italian? Pretty good. Oh, God, that's bad Italian. Sonata di Chitarra. Sonata di guitar with violin and a basso continuo by Giovanni Battista Granata. And it was a 17th century composition. And you will have heard, it's about 30 seconds in that I played that chord progression, or more or less so. And then you heard me playing a piece from John Dowland, lute composer, the world's most famous lute composer. A guy whose works are everywhere. And if you hear a lute music in a movie or something, it's definitely a John Dowland piece. And wonderful, wonderful music he wrote for a long, tons and tons and tons, hundreds of pieces. And he lived 1563 to 1626. So we're into a kind of 17th century guy. So something that's 500 years old, you know, and the same with I couldn't find an exact year on the Granada piece, but, you know, it's another 400 to 500 years old. And I do have stored aside Davy Graham's Cry Me a River. We're going to talk about this. This is what we're talking about today. It was written by Arthur Hamilton. It was covered by Julie London and then by Davy Graham. If you want to claim that chord progression is yours or your dad's or whoever's suing Jimmy Page, then you got to talk to Arthur Hamilton, and you got to talk to Davy Graham, and you got to talk to Giovanni Battista, and there's another one. Somebody told me My Funny Valentine. I heard, and I haven't had a chance to check it out. It's the exact same chords, although in a different key. So there you go. But anyway, that's what you heard in the intro. And then I'm going to talk in more detail about that. I think I just covered half the podcast. So it's going to be a short one. I just said everything I was going to. In history. And let's go in history. It's been a while since I've done this. And like I say, I had one ready to go. 118 was virtually ready to go. And then it didn't. So I have kind of two in history. I have a lot of in history stuff. In 1992, April 20, 1992, Freddie Mercury tribute concert, which Robert Plant appeared at. 1978, April 21st, 1978, Sandy Denny died, who sang on Battle of Evermore from Fairport Convention. Before that, she sang with the Straubs. April 21st, 1998, Walking into Clarksdale was released. We'll talk about that in 2 years, I gather. April 23rd, 1970, Jimmy Page recorded White Summer, Black Mountain Side for BBC's Julie Felix show. Did I just say Julie Felix recorded that song? That can't be who I said, right? Julie London. There you go. But the Julie Felix show in London. So you know. 24th, 1969, kickoff second North American tour at the Winterloom Ballroom. And those April 24 to April 27 shows, I think it is, are amongst real fanatics and real collectors of bootlegs. It's some of the absolute favorites. Just on fire shows. And people love those shows. April 25th, 2005, Mighty Rearranger released. April 28th, 1990, Jason Bonham's wedding. And the band performed it. Jay got up and did an impromptu show with Jason at his wedding. And that's 26 years for Jason. So happy anniversary, Jason Bonham, as well. 1969, on April 29th, they began recording Led Zeppelin II. You know, Jason Bonham got married the year before me. Like, almost to the day. That's neat. Anyway. And then May 5th, 1973, the famous 56,800 people Tampa show. May 7, 1974, launch party for Swan Song Records. May 7, 2002, RobertPlant.com launch. May 7, 2008, Robert Plant and Alison Krauss appear on BBC Breakfast TV together. Today, May 8th, 2002. Forgive me, I'm doing the late night shift again. It's been a long time since I kind of hooked myself up in the basement to grind one of these out, but that's what it's taken today. And I put in about 18-kilometer run today, which is 10 miles maybe. So I'm tired, physically tired. But anyway, not enough whining about me. May 8th, 2002, Jimmy Page and his wife co-hosted second annual dinner and auction to benefit Actions for Brazil Children. May 9th, 1998, Jimmy Page Saturday Night Live with Sean appeared on Saturday Night Live with Sean Puffy Combs. Puff Daddy on, and they did the Godzilla soundtrack song, which is Kashmir. May 9th, 2008, 10 years later, Hard Rock Park in Myrtle Beach opens Led Zeppelin The Ride. I think that's closed now. I think for some reason that's closed. May 11, 1974, band meets Elvis after the show at Los Angeles Forum. May 12, 1977, receive outstanding contribution to British music at the second Ivor Novello Awards. May 13, 1969, first major rock group to appear in Hawaii. May 13, 1974. Were they a major rock group by April 13, 1969? That's kind of a dubious claim, I would say, wouldn't you? One album, one tour under their belt. That's kind of a hard thing to claim. May 13, 1974, the West Coast Party for Swan Song launches at Bel Air Hotel in Los Angeles. And May 14, 1988, the famous Atlantic 40th anniversary concert, at which they appeared like at 2 in the morning, and Jimmy had been into his cups awful bad and whatnot. I wanted to kind of comment on something quickly. I mentioned that Beth mentioned on Facebook about me not being on in a while. It's kind of an oddball thing, right? But it's nice that... let's just say it was appreciated, because it You do this in the basement, and you're sitting down here, and you kind of you wonder like who's out there, what's going on, or nobody cares if I won't do one this. Nobody cares if I don't do one this week. You know, if it was a radio show, you have like a boss say, hey, you know, dude, you haven't showed up to work for 4 weeks. But you got no boss really saying, hey, what's going on over there? So it was you know. I just wanted to acknowledge that. It was nice that somebody actually missed me out there. You do wonder sometimes if, what am I doing here? Am I doing anything that's interesting or you know, who cares? Nobody cared if I went away. So I just wanted to say that. Okay, so it was announced this week that the band Train is going to do... They're going to recreate Led Zeppelin 2. It will be released June 3rd, like a month from last week. And it's available. You can pre-order it now. It will come in vinyl and CD editions. And it will be available to buy at Starbucks. And all proceeds will go to Family House, a charity organization that supports families of kids suffering from cancer. And the band is big on this Family House. Their website is actually, it's not train.com. It's Save Me San Francisco. And they sell, through the website, amongst other things, they sell wine and chocolate. And called Save Me San Francisco Wine Company, Save Me San Francisco Wine Company, Save Me San Francisco Chocolate. And actually, the chocolate bars have really cool kind of pictures of San Francisco. I would say that's kind of neat. But the proceeds of the wines and chocolate goes to support Family House. And I say this is their website, is Save Me San Francisco Wine Company. So they are very big on Family House. And Family House, according to the website, is a nonprofit organization providing temporary housing to families of seriously ill children receiving treatment at the University of California, San Francisco, Benioff Children's Hospital. And I believe it's somewhere in the yes, in the press releases for the Led Zeppelin 2, it mentions cancer specifically. It's families of kids suffering from cancer. Here it says seriously ill children. But you wonder if University of California, San Francisco Children's Hospital is a cancer special. A lot of hospitals specialize, you know. And you wonder if that's a specialty hospital. So actually, you know, God bless them for that. Now, they've been taking a bit of a beating online. People say, like, it's an abomination, they're calling it. And they're going to ruin Led Zeppelin's legacy. I confess I'm not sure when I would ever listen to Train Does Led Zeppelin 2. If I really wanted to listen, especially as they're recreating it. Not kind of reinterpreting it, but they're trying to note for note recreate it. And this weekend on Spotify, they did let out What Is and What Should Never Be. And it was pretty good. It was okay, but it sounded like, you know, like the solo was exactly the same. And the singer was pretty much in the Robert Plant, hitting those notes that Robert Plant hits. A slightly different voice, you know, and slightly different tone in the songs and stuff, but it was good. But why you would listen to that instead of Led Zeppelin 2, I'm not sure. On the other hand, you know, Train's a newer band, and there's kids out there who probably, you know, have heard of Led Zeppelin maybe, but have never listened to Led Zeppelin, and they may very well listen to it and go, oh, I'm going to check out this other, you know, wow, that's cool, so that sounds good, so let's go check out the real thing. So I don't know. I don't see it as a bad thing. And I kind of on Twitter, I kind of contacted Train, but publicly and said, hey, anybody over there want to come on the show and we'll talk about it. And a guy on Twitter calls himself, Train's number one fan or something, says, I'd love to hear that as long as it's a positive interview. And I kind of replies, well, in 144 characters less, I replied, what'd be the point of doing a negative interview? Life's just too short. As I've pointed out, I'm way too busy to get on the phone and start badgering the guys in Train about a crappy album they're doing. It's, you know, it'd be positive. Or, I mean, an interview can always go downhill, but I would have no intention of pushing it as a negative interview. Oh, let's get them on and berate them. You know, I'd love to hear why they're big Zeppelin fans, how they're big Zeppelin fans, how the influence plays, why they did this album. And that one question, why would I listen to this instead of Led Zeppelin 2? But beyond that, just chat Led Zeppelin with it. I'd love to get somebody like that on and just chat Led Zeppelin. Never mind all the other stuff. But anyway, I'll be keeping a close eye for that. We'll see where it goes. But that's Train doing Led Zeppelin 2. And they have done it in a couple of shows. They did a cruise or something recently, and they were doing the entire album on the cruise. So this is not, and that's not out of left field. Okay, way back in the episodes 46 and 47, which I think are not on the server, and I have to go backwards and see how this works, but well, it's very possible. Well, the upload line is 65. Everything be up after 65 is good. So, 46 and 47. I talked about Led Zeppelin. in TV and in movies, the references and that sort of thing. And we've, you know, the every new ones come up once in a while. And we did find, I think there was, I think in 47, I kind of mentioned, I forgot one that I knew, and it was a news radio did a whole season where it was the shows were titled after Led Zeppelin songs. No, I think they're albums. Beyond that, there's all sorts of, there's shows that use their songs, and people, you know, made a big deal out of one or two shows had a couple of their songs around this time. I think that's where I came up with it. And I pointed out that Californication had used Dazed and Confused. But there's all sorts of little references come in. Lately, I've been watching That 70s Show. I didn't watch it when it was new, when it was on TV, but it's on Netflix, and I've kind of been, I've picked up on it. So I'm at season 5. In season 5, every show is named after a Led Zeppelin song. And remarkably, they seem to tie in with what the actual episode is about. So they've done a nice job of that. And they've done, I think it goes this way. Season 5 is Led Zeppelin. Season 6 is all Who songs. Season 7 is all Stone song. And the final season is all Queen songs, I think is how it works. But I'm working a bit off memory on that. But here's season 5. Here's the show. It's Going to California, I Can't Quit You, Baby. What Is and What Should Never Be, Heartbreaker, Ramble On. Over the Hills and Far Away, Hot Dog, Thank You, Black Dog, The Crunch. Old Girl I Love, oh, The Girl I Love. Misty Mountain Hop, Your Time Is Gonna Come, Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You. When the Levee Breaks, Whole Lot of Love, Battle of Evermore, Hey, Hey, What Can I Do, Bring It On Home, No Quarter, Trampled Underfoot, You Shook Me, Nobody's Fault But Mine, Immigrant Song, Celebration Day. And I noted The Girl I Love is one of the songs, which was a deep cut that showed up on the box set. Somebody's a serious Zeppelin fan there, because they picked, you know, that's one that would go under the radar if you were going through your Zeppelin songs. So good for, you know, good on them, good on them. And quite often characters are they show their bedrooms. There's actually a Kiss poster in one of the characters' bedrooms, and I had it for years in my bedroom, and I laugh every time I see it. And there's one scene where they're kind of, you know, it's a romantic scene, and my wife says, I don't know, she's mentioned something, and I'm going, I hate that poster. She goes, that's what you're getting out of this? Yeah, that's about it. but there's often one character in particular, but often characters have Led Zeppelin t-shirts. There was an episode in around season 3 where one of the characters won tickets to a Led Zeppelin show. I think I mentioned that a couple of episodes ago, actually. So a lot of Led Zeppelin references in That 70s Show. And there's a whole season where they're just named after Led Zeppelin. All right. So we got this going on with this, the lawsuit. And I've been struggling a bit with how to handle talking about this. Because I don't want to make legal judgments. I'm not a lawyer. I once, when I was a kid, I was told, like when I was a teenager, my family were told, come up with something to tell people you're going to be when you grow up. So I used to say lawyer. So that's as close as I've ever come to being a lawyer. You know, so I'm not a lawyer, but I've played one as a teenager. How's that? Does interest me. Law interests me a bit. So I pay attention to things and I grasp it a bit. But I couldn't intelligently talk to you about California copyright law in any meaningful way. So I'm not going to. I'll tell you, the one thing that comes up is this lawyer that's suing Led Zeppelin, who's on the plaintiff's side, is quite a character, and he sued Beyonce or something like that, and for a similar type claim, and ended up being sanctioned by the judge. The judge had very harsh things to say about him, including something along the lines of, I have no authority to recommend disbarment based on his actions in this case, but I recommend disbarment, more or less, is what he said. So you know, it kind of leads to the idea that maybe this is such a, I don't know, it seems like a scam. And the more I look at it, the more the evidence comes out, the more stuff comes out. I seen something today when I was researching this. Somebody said, "Oh, they stole it. They were touring with Taurus, and they stole it." And that's a lie. They never toured with Taurus. I've never really toured with anybody. Vanilla Fudge in the very early days. They might have done a few shows with Taurus. Might have. I've not seen any evidence that they've done any shows together. They did both do the Texas International Pop Festival in 69 on two different days. And it was the end of Led Zeppelin's tour. I think it was their first tour. First American tour. So their last show was like the Friday at the Texas International Blues Festival. Spirit played the Saturday. So it's a big assumption that Led Zeppelin hung around to listen to the bands that were playing the next day instead of going home. Three of those guys were married. And Jimmy Page had a girlfriend at the time. They've been on the road and they've been on the go since Christmas. So it's a big assumption to assume they weren't home and probably could be shown to be, you know, if they were, probably passport passes and landing slips and whatnot could be found to detail that they weren't there. They never. One of the claims in the court is that Jimmy Page asked Randy California to show him the chords that he plays in that song. I mean, Jimmy Page had been, you know, I have a quote from John Paul Jones where they knew about Jimmy Page in 1963. He was playing with Neil Christian and the Crusaders at the time. Jimmy Page had been a professional musician for 6 years by that time. He had done 3 or 4 years as a session musician, a serious session musician, played in hundreds of sessions in London. So we think he needs to ask, what chords were you playing? Instead of being able to kind of sit and fart through them and figure it out. So that makes no sense. And there's other stuff like that that makes not a lot of sense. And then you heard my intro. If you go to those two, the John Dowland or the Giovanni Battista Granata piece, the chord progression is more or less exists already. And it's in the public domain. So using a chord progression in the public domain and then claiming somebody stole it from you, it would be like, you know, roughly the equivalent would be if you wrote a book about The Who and you pulled out a Shakespeare quote at the beginning of the book. So you started the book with, "The poet's eye, in a fine frenzy rolling, doth glance from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven." That's your quote to start the book. That's how you start the book. You're gonna. So, and that's from, is that from As You Like It, I think. I love the phrase "a fine frenzy." That's why I pulled that one out, by the way. And I believe it's from, As You Like It. So, all right. So that's, you can do that because that's not an original quote. That's not plagiarism because it's a known quote. You know what I mean? And it's in the public domain. So then I do, 5 years later, I come along and I do a book about Led Zeppelin. And my opening paragraph starts with, the poet's eye, in a fine frenzy rolling, doth glance from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven. And then you sue me for plagiarizing you. Well, no, that's a 500-year-old quote. And I mean, it's idiotic when you put it in that perspective. It's idiotic to suggest I could steal that from you when you're using a public domain quote. The same thing happens with this chord progression. This chord progression is clearly in the public domain. But here's the thing. It's not even the same chord progression in Stairway to Heaven and Taurus. It's not even the same. And I'm going to show you how it's different. This is what I do better than most things. So instead of talking law, the law, besides all else, you put it in front of a jury could decide anything, a judge could decide anything. It'll have far more to do with how the lawyers argue than the facts of the case, likely as not. But let's look at one of the facts of the case. One of the facts of the case is, it's not even the same chord progression. It's very different in many ways, but it sounds similar. Here's Taurus, and this is me playing, by the way. Okay, got that? Here's Stairway to Heaven. You hear the difference right off the bat? There's significant differences. Here's the chords. Let's just do this. Easy, easy peasy way to go. Here's the chords. Taurus. Yeah, and then... But it actually, he just picks it. Here's Stairway to Heaven. I'm just going to do the first three. Again. Completely different chords. Completely different. To a degree, anyway. So... A lot of it has to do with melody. Where's the melody? In the Taurus piece, the melody's in the bass. Now, this is the catch part. This is the part where the claim is coming from. It's in this descending bass line. And Taurus, it goes... You know, it's the same bass line. Except the Taurus, it actually goes. Which is in Stairway to Heaven, it goes. Taurus, the bass line goes. In Stairway, it goes. Same notes, but a different pattern. And with the Taurus, listen for the melody, the hummable part, the hum, you know, and it is. Stairway to Heaven, it's just a bass line. The real action is, now here's the top end of Stairway to Heaven. So again, the top end, there's, and I'll just do the top. In Spirit, the top is. That's it. Way different. And the melody part of Stairway to Heaven is there. So, you know, boy, that's hard to kind of make the case that that's the same thing as what it boils down to. You hear there's three different elements there that are different. The chords themselves are different. The bass line, which is the part really in question, it appears, is different. And certainly the top line is very, very different. And the melody of the song, the melody of the four bars is in the bass line in Taurus. It's in the treble line in the high end of Stairway to Heaven. And I go, I pulled it, I kind of, you know, in doing the research, I kind of just pulled a couple of quick tabs out to make my life a little easier doing this. And somebody wrote, because I did find a couple that showed the Taurus as Stairway to Heaven, and they would say, it's just Stairway to Heaven. And they post Stairway to Heaven. And no, it's not just Stairway to Heaven. It's quite different. And the guy, whoever did this, says, many versions of the Taurus tab are incorrectly posted on the website with the first four bars of Stairway to Heaven tab. These two songs, based on commonly used A minor descending chromatic walk, are vastly different in composition and complexity. Only an amateur would confuse them as the same song. Quote, unquote, only an amateur would confuse them as the same song. And then at one point he goes, here's the stairway. He gives the Taurus and he gives the stairway and he says, the resolve here is pure genius. And the resolve, by the way, is, because there is some chords in there that are a bit harsh. That it's kind of a, you know, those chords are not pretty chords. Unlike that. That's all right, but you're kind of with that. That is it. It just resolves so perfectly. It's a perfect little piece of resolution, whereas spirit kind of fades away. Very, very, very different. You know, it's four bars, and you know it's a 7-minute song of Stairway to Heaven, and it's a 3.5-minute, and we're arguing about four bars, which is crazy unto itself. But you know, we know from George Harrison's My Sweet Lord, three notes. Those three notes, however, were in the melody, and were the main melody notes. You know, She's So Fine and My Sweet Lord, those words, the songs are called She's So Fine, the song's called My Sweet Lord. It was those words which were in question in the melody. You know, but that's the case everybody cites. It was three notes. But it was the title words, the three notes in question. That may have been a contributing factor. But again, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not trying to play one on the internet. But I just wanted to bring out that, you know, from a guitarist perspective, what was vastly different in there. And the same goes, like, we played the Giovanni piece, I played the John Dowland piece. It's different, too. They're not exactly the same. Very similar. They both work off that A minor, you know, to G, C, E, you know. That's got some different ones in it. But again, everything's different. They all run a little differently, but they sound very similar. Very similar. And I'm going to play on the outro, I'm going to play the Davy Graham song, Cry Me a River. I think it's called. And I mentioned this before. It was written by Arthur Hamilton in 1954, 53. It was covered by Julie Lund. It was covered by various people. Even Diana Krall in the, you know, current era has covered the song Cry Me a River. But the Davy Graham version very much uses because he does it on the guitar, it really brings out those chords are part of the mix. And in fairness, you know, it likely that both Jimmy Page, if they were lifting from anybody, both Jimmy Page and Randy California were lifting from Davy Graham, likely. Certainly, if you accept the idea that Jimmy Page couldn't possibly have not heard Randy California using those chords, then it seems unlikely that Randy California could not possibly have heard Davy Graham using those chords. So it's an odd case, because it could be a suit to a suit to a suit, you know, and next thing you know, going back 400 years, there's 72 people have credit, songwriting credit on Stairway to Heaven. And that's, you know, it doesn't work that way, and it's not going to work that way. So I kind of think this one won't result in a an unfavorable verdict for Page and Plant, who, by the way, have nicked a fair bit of stuff, especially the first two albums. And there's stuff in there that, you know, they've had to give credit to for A Whole Lot of Love. They've had to give credit for Days Confused. But somewhere I heard someone posted and it's a 50s song, and it's like a surf song, and it's the lick is Moby Dick, 100% Moby Dick. Not sort of close, ooh, that could be 100% Moby Dick. So there's those, you know, they did, especially those first two albums, I think. It's really hard to find a case of they lifted anything after those first two albums, a credible case. At least where they weren't, a little more upfront about what they. So, for instance, Boogie with Stu, you know, it's Richie Valens' Ooh My Head, and they gave credit to Richie Valens' mother to try, you know, so. They weren't really hiding what they were doing there. And there was a couple of pieces where they kind of went traditional arrangement by Page and Plant, which what they're really saying is, we didn't write this, but we're taking the credit anyways. How that kind of works. But, you know, and then there's, I guess the other one that strikes you is Nobody's Fault But Mine, but it's not, it's so original. It's like, it's like when the Levee Breaks are In My Time of Dying. Yeah, there are old songs. But outside of the lyrics, who would it? You know, there's no crediting them as anything other than original songs. So after the first two albums, the kind of stuff disappears mostly. And I don't put a lot of credit in the Stairway to Heaven claim myself. Although I could be wrong. Anyway, I'm going to outro with Davy Graham, Cry Me a River. And that's it. Ramble On Radio, episode 118. Check rambleonradio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might mention in today's podcast. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. And do not forget to leave a review. Listen on Stitcher Radio and on Spreaker, Spreaker. And if you're at Spreaker, follow Ramble On Radio on and download it from I Am Brian Dammit on Podbean. That's a lot of stuff. And also check out Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 118. I will try really hard to get another one up in the next week or three. Things should quiet down in 2 weeks. I will try to get something out next week. In the meanwhile, keep it cool and babies, and here's some Davy Graham from 1959, a BBC broadcast, Cry Me a River, the Arthur Hamilton song.